important words are in the visitation ministry, but not only in the visitation ministry, but in life. Especially in the visitation ministry, we know that words that are spoken at the right time and in the right manner, they can encourage, they can comfort, they can build up, they can support a person who may be grieving or may be experiencing deep afflictions. But we know that at the same time, words that are spoken carelessly can hurt, can discourage, can tear down, and can even crush a person. And that is why the Bible has so much to say with regard to the words that we speak. And this afternoon, as we have this visitation seminar, we are considering a very important theme of how we must speak the right words, but not only the right words, but the right words in the right way and in the right time. I'm sure you have experienced before when fitting words have been spoken to you, where in times when you may have been afraid or filled with doubts or going through various struggles, and then this right words, gentle words, comforting words, encouraging words that were spoken to you have lifted up your heart so that you can continue to be strengthened in the faith and you can continue in the service of the Lord. And that's how important words are. And especially in the visitation ministry, when we visit these various homes, what do we say? Because a big part of this ministry involves words. But what do we say? How should we say certain things? We would read portions of scripture for them to encourage them. But we know that it's also about understanding some of the struggles that these people whom we may be visiting may be going through and experiencing. Knowing what their circumstances and situations of life may be. And then how to respond in the right and the appropriate way. And that is why we want to consider several principles this afternoon to guide us in this ministry. And this does not just only apply to the visitation ministry, but really to guide us also in the use of words in life. And when we look at our text in Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs chapter 25, in verses 11 to 13, there will be three things that we will consider today with regard to the words that we must speak. And the first thing that the Bible reminds us of is the beauty of fitting words. The emphasis in verse 11 are words that are fitly spoken. And the Bible says here, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now the word fitly spoken describes something that has been set in the right place. So not just words that are spoken, but words that are set in the right place. That means these are words that are arranged rightly. Words that are arranged properly. And words with purpose. Carefully thought out, deliberate words. So words that are fitly spoken, the Bible now likens that to apples of gold in pictures of silver. The book of Proverbs often use pictures to illustrate a spiritual truth. And this picture over here is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now you'll notice that the Bible did not merely say that fitly spoken words are like apples of gold. Now we would think that that would be true, right? That means if you speak the right words at the right time, they are like apples of gold. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now the word pictures here, please not think of it like an art piece, like a picture. The word picture here, interestingly, actually describes settings of silver. So this word setting can describe some form of embroidery or intricate artwork. So the silver itself is already very beautiful. The silver itself is already very elaborate. But the Bible now presents a contrast that when a person speaks fitting words, words in the proper place, words that are arranged in the right time and in the right manner, They are now like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Now, these apples of gold, of course, would be ornamented apples. That means, again, a very intricate kind of artwork. So there's a contrast between the intricate setting of silver and these apples of gold. And there are several important points that this picture describes. It describes the rarity of fitly spoken words, as silver is already very expensive, and this intricately designed frame or fittings of silver is already very price expensive, value of great value. Now the Bible says that when you have fitly spoken words, it's even more valuable than this frame and this fitting of silver. And that actually shows us the rarity but also of the value and the importance of fitly spoken words. Because not only just saying the right words is important, but saying the right words at the right time, saying the right words very deliberately, having the discernment to know when to respond, is so rare today. And that is one of the challenges in speaking. Really, before we think about how we should speak or what we should say, the first step in speaking is to listen. If you don't even understand what a person may be going through or what a person may be experiencing, how can we respond in the right way? How can we even present fitly spoken words? And isn't it true that there's a lot of impatience today? And you may also say that nuance is something that is very rare. Nuance in the sense where you are very sensitive, you have listened very attentively to understand what a person may be experiencing and what a person may be going through before you think about a response. Because oftentimes, before even a person may complete sharing what he may be experiencing, we have already crafted our answer in our minds. Or we may sometimes just interrupt a person as a person is elaborating and expressing something before we allow a person to complete what he or she is trying to share. We already interrupt a person, and then we have certain questions or we have certain thoughts before a person has finished speaking. And that would definitely then not be fitly spoken words, because you don't even know what are the circumstances a person may be experiencing or going through. There's a right kind of being sensitive, right? I mean, sometimes we say that some people are too sensitive, right? There's a wrong kind of being sensitive, right? Where you are overly sensitive in a selfish manner, where you are so concerned about what people think of you all the time, and then you try to read between the lines. But there's also a right kind of being sensitive that really stems from compassion, empathy, a desire to understand what a person may be going through or what a person is trying to express before we even say anything. It's something that is very rare today. That's why the Bible compares it to apples of gold in pictures of silver. It is very carefully crafted, designed. I mean, the idea here of these apples of gold means that you must shape it. It's not just a circle. Right? What makes an apple is the intricate design, the details. It looks like a circle, but it's more than a circle. The careful design of these apples of gold. But this picture, apples of gold in settings of frame of silver, also tells us that fitting words are very beautiful. There's a harmony that when you put these apples of gold in a fitting of silver, it enhances the apple of gold. You know, with a backdrop, right, with a certain setting, something that you want to present can appear very different. It can enhance the apples of gold in this setting of silver. And that's what the Bible is also emphasizing. When you speak fitting words, now it is very beautiful, and there's a harmony where it all comes together. It becomes a blessing. You may speak the right words, but if you speak the right words at the wrong time, then you would not have these fitting words. It would not be beautiful. A person may even say that, "Oh, I agree with your words, But somehow something still does not feel right or comfortable with it. I remember when I was younger, I have made the same mistake, and I was taught in a painful way, but needful way. It was once where some youths actually came to ask me several questions on a particular topic, on the doctrine. And I remember before I finished listening to them, they were asking the question, and then halfway I already have the answer in my mind. And so I interrupted them and said, let me answer your question. I already know what you are going to ask, right? So, no, you don't have to finish asking your question. Let me answer your question. I mean, I didn't say it, but in my mind, that was what I was thinking. And so I started to answer and give the response. And later on, I thanked the Lord that one of these youths came up to me to share and say that, you know, we agree with what you have shared. But it just didn't leave a pleasant note because we didn't feel heard. We didn't feel that you were interested in listening to us. And so at the end, yes, we agree with everything you say, but it still left a sour taste in our mouth, right? We agree with the doctrine, we agree with the principle, but then it felt like you were very impatient. It felt like you just wanted to rush off to something else. And so it left a sour taste in our mouth. And I thank the Lord that this youth was very honest to share this. And I learned an important lesson. Fitting words. You may say the right things and the words are all biblical and true, but still, it is not like apples of gold. It may not encourage in the way it ought to. And that's why fitting words, the Bible does not just say right words, but fitting words, that means in the right place, arranged properly, are now like apples of gold in the settings of silver. And that's why listening is always so important before we speak. That's how we are able to know whether the words that we say are suitable, are appropriate, are relevant to even what a person may be experiencing and feeling. Now, in this regard, sometimes we are too quick to read our own experiences into what a person is experiencing. Because really, in life, a lot of our experiences are very unique, are very different. Even though they may appear very similar at times. Because our lives are different. The circumstances are different. Our backgrounds are different. And so sometimes there may be certain experiences that seem very similar. And we might be tempted to immediately say, I have actually experienced this. I know what you are going through because I've experienced it myself. Let me now tell you, this is what I did, and therefore this is what you should do. But there may be certain important elements or nuances where what the person experiences is experiencing is very different from what we have experienced. And if we just merely say, this is what I have experienced, now let me tell you, this is what I have done, this is therefore what you should do, the person may feel that something feels different. I can't put my finger down to it, but something feels different. And your experience may not be therefore relevant to us. And in the very first place, our own experiences must never be the basis for encouraging a person or telling what a person should do. Our experience in the Lord, if it is the faithfulness of God, right? Yes, you may say, I do not know exactly what you are going through because I'm not in your position. I try to understand, I try to empathize, but I can never fully understand everything that you are going through. But I know that my God is faithful. I've experienced the faithfulness of God. I've experienced the goodness of God. I've experienced the mercies of God. Our God is faithful. He's good. He's compassionate. And He is also a faithful God to you. You can share that. Then that is where you are no longer just merely using your experience, but you now describing the faithfulness of God, the promises of God, the goodness of God in encouraging a person. And so the person may say that, yes, you may not experience what I'm going through, but what you say is true. God is faithful. God is good. God is a God of compassion. And even though I may be going through something that is so overwhelming, this is the same promise, this is the same truth that I can anchor my soul unto. And that's why we have to be very careful. Don't just quickly read your own experience to what a person may be going through or what a person is sharing. Fitly spoken words. The Bible describes here the beauty of fitting words. Not only just the right words, but at the right time, in the right place, with the right motive, with the right tone. These are words that are now very beautiful, that can encourage, comfort, and strengthen. But the Bible now used a second picture in verse 12. So not only does the Bible describe the beauty of fitting words, but the Bible also now describes the worth or the value of wise reproof as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. So is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now this earring of gold and ornament of fine gold again describes something that's very expensive, but that is adorned. And then when a person adorns this earring of gold or the ornament of fine gold, it is very beautiful. Right? There's a beauty that will be seen in this. And the Bible again says, when a person is able to reprove in a wise manner, and upon an obedient ear, it will be like this earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. Now you notice here, again, the Bible did not just simply say a reprover, but a wise reprover. And there's a difference. The word reproof simply describes someone who admonishes or corrects. It's easy to correct, but it's not easy to correct wisely. How should we correct? When should we correct? Do you simply point out every single mistake or every single error at every opportunity that you find? Then that becomes a critical spirit. Right? If everything you just want to correct, you're just correcting, criticizing, commenting, this is not done properly, this is not done rightly. There's no charity, there's no sensitivity, there's no wisdom, you just correct. It's very easy, but that's not what the Bible describes. That becomes a very critical spirit. And you know that in any setting where you have this kind of critical spirit, it can become contentious. In a church, in a ministry, knowing when is the right time to correct. Do you correct in a respectful manner? Do you correct merely publicly? How about, like, for example, even in vigil services? Especially during vigil services, sometimes in the eulogy, right, when you have the family members who may share certain things, and you know these family members may come from different backgrounds. Would that be the appropriate time to correct? Or would it even be necessary to correct? You know, if let's say some of them they share, and then they share certain experiences or memories of the loved one who has passed on, would that be the right time to correct? Because if we just merely reprove, if we say that any mistake, any wrongdoing, we correct, then that would be most unwise. And that's why the Bible says, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Now the word obedient here is interesting. This word literally means a hearing ear, a listening ear. And it describes a receptive heart. There is a time and a place to know when to speak, and to also evaluate whether a person is ready to hear. Now, it does not mean that if a person is not ready to hear, we should not correct if it is needful. But there also comes a point where we know that if a person at this point is not ready to speak, maybe because the person is so overwhelmed with certain emotions, the person is just so overwhelmed with anger, the person is already prejudiced at this exact moment, there may be wisdom in giving that person some time to calm down first before we talk to that person and confront that person concerning certain issues. Right? And that's why an obedient ear, a receptive heart, is very important. We can only help those who want to be helped. We cannot force a person to accept a truth that he is unwilling to accept. We cannot force a person to receive help if a person does not want to be helped through the Word of God. You know, sometimes people, they say, especially when we try to counsel or advise, or when we go for visitation, a person may accuse, right, people for not caring for them. And even though you have tried to care for them in a biblical way, guided by the Holy Spirit, with the wisdom from God, but they still say that, no, I feel that you don't care for me. What it may mean is that you don't care for me in the way I want you to care for me. And that's because their hearts may already be hardened and stubborn. And then you still try to insist and force your way, it may just make things worse. If a person is not receptive, sometimes there would be wisdom in giving the person some space, some time, and pray that the Holy Spirit will convict the person's heart before you continue to reprove, to correct. A listening ear, you cannot help those who refuse to be helped. If a person is already fixed and stubborn in his ways, you may sometimes send gentle reminders. Maybe you may follow up from time to time to see whether a person has changed his mind. But if a person still remains fixed in his way, how can you force a person to receive what he does not want to receive? And that's again wisdom. So there is no one size fit all. Right? A lot would be requires a lot of discernment, and wisdom has to be evaluated on a very personal level to know whether you should push further, to know whether you should hold back for a moment, to know whether you should be firmer, or to know whether you should be more understanding. Knowing when to speak, how to correct, and even the degree of that firmness requires a lot of wisdom. The nature of the relationship also would be different. I learned this a lot in parenting. I know that this is not a parenting seminar, it's a visitation seminar. But even in correcting our children, knowing the time, knowing the circumstances, knowing what they are feeling, just because they are fussy, does it mean that immediately fussy use the cane? There are times when they are fussy, they throw tantrum, right? They storm their feet, and then they shout very loudly. We decide this is the time that you need to be disciplined with the rod of correction. But there are times when they are fussy because they are unwell. They feel uncomfortable. They don't know how to express their discomfort. Then how we deal with them must be very different. Right, that's the sensitivity, the wisdom, even in correcting. You know that something is not normal. It is out of the ordinary. The person does not behave like that usually. But something is off about that person. Then take a gentle approach towards that person. That's why the Bible describes a wise reprover. You must reprove with wisdom. And when there's wisdom in reproving and upon an obedient ear, whereby the grace of God, the Lord now takes these words of wise reproof, and a person is receptive. It is so beautiful, isn't it? Where at the end, it brings glory to God. It builds up. It strengthens. It sharpens. It encourages. Where a person now realizes, I have indeed made this mistake. I have indeed done wrong. And then the person realizes and says, I'm sorry. And tries to repent and change. Not just trying to repent, but repents and then tries to change and grow. Then there's that beauty like earrings of gold and ornament of fine gold. Reproof and reproof wisely. Because this is of great value and of great worth. And now the third thought with regard to fitting words. The Bible says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Now this is an interesting description. The cold of snow here, please don't misunderstand. right? This does not describe the snowfall. And the Bible used the expression the cold of snow. Most likely this would describe the cold from the snow. Okay? Now what does it mean then, the cold from the snow? This could be describing the snow that melts. Right? When you melt this snow, it becomes that cold, refreshing drink. Right? So the cold of snow here does not describe just merely snowfall, you know, or the cold weather. Because this is describing the time of harvest. Now, the time of harvest here would not be winter, so it would not be snowing. Okay? But the harvest here, in fact, would be often during the hot seasons. That is when the farmers will go forth to harvest their crops. So the cold of snow here would probably be describing that cold, refreshing drink that comes from melted snow. Now it's very, very rare, but it is interestingly something that they were able to acquire in those days. In ancient times, right, people have found ways to actually get cold, refreshing drinks, even in the desert heat. And the Bible says now, this cold of snow that is very refreshing, in the time of harvest, it is a picture of a faithful messenger to them that sent him. So the third thought here is really the refreshment of faithfulness. Now this again must be understood correctly. The Bible did not say here that this refreshment is to the person receiving it, but the faithful messenger to them that sent him, but to the sender, right? For he refresheth the soul of his masters. So the one who has sent this messenger, when the messenger is faithful, when the messenger repeats accurately whatever the master has sent him to say, then the Bible says that this is a refreshment, really so refreshing to the sender. So really this is describing faithfulness of the messenger to the sender, that it would refresh the sender. Now why does the Bible say this? And that is because we know how easy and how common and often it is that words are distorted. Right? That words are spoken unfaithfully. You know, of course, this would, the immediate application here would be if someone entrusts you with a message and then wants you to bring forth this message to someone else, if you can present that message accurately, faithfully, then that is such a refreshment to the sender. Because so often, certain things that may be entrusted to a person, somewhere along the line, it may be distorted and then there's misunderstanding and then there's confusion. So that would be the immediate application. But the other applications would simply be faithfulness in describing and in explaining or expressing whatever has been entrusted to you, even from your Lord. You know, when we go for visitation ministry, we must know that this is a calling. We are going as ambassadors of Christ. We are going as representatives of Christ. Again, it does not just only apply to the visitation ministry, it applies to any area of ministry that the Lord has entrusted to us. It can apply to the track ministry when you go and evangelize. It can apply even in your own workplace, because you are still a representative of Christ. And the message that you send and that you share, does it accurately describe the message that God wants you to speak to a person? Now, that's where we need to be very clear that what we are saying, what we are speaking, is really what God wants us to say. So it's not just only when we are sensitive to a person's needs, right, and sensitive to a person's circumstances, but now we are very thoughtful and sensitive to what the Lord wants us to speak and what the Lord wants us to say that will comfort and encourage a person. And or at times, it may even be a word of reproof. If it's a word of reproof, then we must not be afraid to say whatever the Lord wants us to say. Just like young Samuel, when the Lord told him to speak these words of prophecy even towards Eli and his sons, Samuel said all these words faithfully. And that's the kind of responsibility all of us must see ourselves undertaking when we go for visitation or evangelism or even when we interact with people, because people will form impressions not only just of us but of our Master, of our Lord, through the way we speak, through the way we relate to others. If they only see someone who is proud, someone who is argumentative, someone who just wants to win an argument, then they would think that, you mean this is who Christ is? So unkind, so lacking in compassion, so lacking in love. But we know that that's not who Christ is, because you see how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with different people in the Gospels on different occasions. To the publicans, to the sinners, to the ignorant, how he was so patient with them, even to his own disciples. And of course, to the Pharisees, he dealt with them very differently. Why is that difference? Why did he deal with the woman in Samaria, right, at the well, so differently, so patiently? How did the Lord Jesus Christ help her to come to a recognition of her own sinfulness and the need of a Savior? How did the Lord Jesus Christ deal with the woman who was caught in adultery? That was a very, very serious sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew that she was already repentant of her sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ says, no one condemns you, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. We must learn from the Lord Jesus Christ how he deals with different people so sensitively, so differently. Is that the kind of compassion that we have? Because we must realize that we are reflecting Christ. As the messenger, are we faithful to our Master, to our Lord, who has sent us to comfort, to encourage, to remind, to rebuke with our words? Now we know and we have experienced before, or seen or heard, you know, how at times, not only in visitation but in evangelism, where people may get so engrossed in just trying to win an argument, it gets into a debate, it becomes so unpleasant. You know, a person may lose that debate and lose the argument, and he says that, you know, I'm unable to out-debate you. Because, yeah, you can speak so well, you are so eloquent, I cannot answer you, but I still am not convinced. Now, if it's because not of the hardness of the person's heart, but because of your poor testimony, right, where in the course of the argument, the debate, everything gets so heated, right, and then you have lost your testimony, and the person says, you know, if this kind of person, then I do not want to actually listen further. You realize that now you have become a hindrance to the gospel. Or even in visitation, it's especially at times even more sensitive, because some may be going through a lot of struggles. And then because of your poor testimony, maybe you accuse a person, you say that, you know why you keep falling sick? Because of your sin, because you do not repent of your sin. You assume that it's because of the person's sin. And you make this kind of judgment that you really have no place in making. Because that's very, very personal. You know, you can end up hurting a person. And then the person may now think that Christians are like that. Christianity is like that, and worst of all, you mean Christ does not have compassion? And that's why we must be very sensitive, not just only with what a person may be going through, but to know, is this what the Lord wants me to say? What does the Lord want me to speak now, even with regard to what this person is going through? And that's why in visitation, in evangelism, or even in personal interaction, we must always be prayerful. We must always be praying, asking the Lord for wisdom, the Spirit's leading, the Spirit's direction, in knowing how to reply or to answer. Now, is it not said before that even between husbands and wife, that sometimes when they get into arguments, you know how a lot of arguments can be prevented and can be prevented from escalating, is if both of them just pause and pray and ask the Lord, how should I respond? How should I direct my thoughts? How should I now direct my heart?
you stop and then you pray. Before you say the next word, before you try to defend yourself or prove a point, you stop and you pray. Lord, grant us humility. Lord, grant us wisdom. And has it not been experienced before? Where it's been testified, where when couples, they stop and then they pray, the direction of the whole conversation would turn, would change so differently. Because you cannot pray and remain prayerful and continue your pride. And you cannot remain prayerful and then continue to just merely put a person down or continue in hurtful words. That would not be truly prayerful. That's why I know, be a faithful messenger to your Lord. That will be like the coal of snow in a time of harvest. A faithful messenger is so refreshing. Refreshing to the master who has sent him, and of course it will be refreshing to everyone who receives these faithful words. In the visitation ministry, we are dealing with words. Now there will be a lot of practical aspects, you know, for us to consider during the discussion. We'll try to discuss as practically as you can. Think of certain examples. We are sharing all this not to, you know, like criticize one another, but to learn. So if some of you, you may feel and look back, myself included, and say, I realize I've not been as sensitive or as careful as I ought to. Don't be discouraged, but ask the Lord to grant you wisdom to know now how you can speak fitting words that will be like apples of gold in settings of silver, in pictures of silver. It will be so beautiful, it will be so harmonious, it will bring glory to God's name. So in your discussion, you may discuss as practically as you can, you know, and by the grace of God, we will find the principles of God's word and his wisdom in answering these questions during the discussion. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank thee that thou hast given to men the ability of speech, to be able to use words to express ourselves, to be able to use words to speak to others. We know that this is a wonderful privilege that has only been given to men. But Father, we know that as words that are fitly spoken can encourage, can comfort, can strengthen, can remind, can rebuke, can exhort. But we also know that words of callousness can hurt, can discourage, can even crush a person. So, Father, may thou always grant us wisdom with the use of our words, not only the visitation ministry, but in every area of our lives. Help us to know how we might speak fitting words. Help us to be ready to hear and sensitive, ready to listen and to understand, to be compassionate, like how our Savior is full of compassion, and that then we also will have the wisdom to know what to speak, how to speak, and when to speak. O Lord, we need thy help. May thou help us to grow in the wisdom, in the use of our words, and especially for those in the visitation ministry. May thou continue to bless this ministry and use the various teams as they go forth for visitation month after month. We pray that thy people will be much edified and thy name glorified. Bless now the time of discussion. Grant us a fruitful time and grant the facilitators also the wisdom to direct the discussion in a way that would be glorifying to thee and would edify the saints. We thank thee for this seminar that we can have today. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.